It's time to join the American family Robinson again in Centerville. In our last program, Editor Luke came to the conclusion that he had made a mistake in encouraging Gus Olson's suit for Miss Timmons' hand when Mrs. Robinson reminded him that if Wendy were the lucky one, Miss Timmons would take him off the Robinson's hands. Now, Luke is an enthusiastic champion for Wendy's cause, and his problem is to make him attractive enough to Miss Timmons so that she'll marry him. The first step is to get Wendy to accept a job. Luke has arranged to have Wendy take part in the ceremonies attendant upon turning the first spadeful of earth for the construction of Mr. Jason's factory. The factory will be built on the site of Miss Timmons' old home. As we tune in today, we find Mr. Jason in Luke's office.
Mr. Robinson, I certainly appreciate your efforts in helping the factory to get started. I wish there was something I could do to repay you.
The benefit to Centerville is all I ask in payment, but there is one little favor I may ask of you later on when things get going.
Well, it's practically granted right now. What is it?
Well, it has to do with my brother-in-law. You don't remember him, I suppose.
Indeed, I do. He's a little eccentric, isn't he?
Only a little. Quite a character, really. He has ability along some lines, and if I could find the proper place for him, he might even be a valuable addition to an organization.
Let's see. His name was...
Winkle, William Winkle.
Winkle? Mm-hmm. But he's down here in the program to make a speech this afternoon.
Yes, he's quite a fluent speaker.
But he struck me as being most unsympathetic to any project involving industrial expansion. I thought his attitude on the subject was violently prejudiced.
Oh, you needn't worry about that. He sometimes talks like a radical, but then, like so many of those who talk of remaking America, he never knows what he's talking about, so he doesn't make out a very good case. Anyway, I have a private arrangement with the band leader that will take care of the situation if he lapses into his usual insanities.
But if he usually talks insanities, why have him talk at all?
Well, frankly, my motive is entirely selfish. I'm trying to get rid of him. Now, if he takes part in this ceremony, it may impress Miss Timmons, I hope, to the point of marrying him.
I begin to see. I've had in-laws myself.
Oh, I hope you don't mind.
Not at all. I'm glad to help. And I think I might be able to work him into a job, too. Is he a skilled worker?
No such luck. He's been too busy fighting work to be able to learn how to do it.
Too bad. There won't be many openings around my plant for inexperienced help. And what there are don't pay much.
Oh, that's all right. I wouldn't want you to trust him with anything that required much responsibility. But if he has a title, he won't notice what kind of work's in.
Is he good at meeting people?
Oh, a born greeter. Very impressive, too, if you're not around him very long.
Well, that sounds fine. What I had in mind was making him my office boy. Mm-hmm. Of course, we'll have to think up a more dignified title.
Well, I don't know any other name for an office boy except... I have it.
Yes?
You could call him the contact manager.
That's fine. It doesn't mean a thing, and it sounds important.
Yes.
But I don't know whether one could ask a contact manager to go and get some stamps, for instance.
Oh, easy. Just ask him to contact the post office and bring some back.
Well, won't he catch on to the fact that it's just a joke?
Oh, I don't think so. Wendy's not overly bright, but he'll probably be trying to run the business for you when he's been there a week.
Well, that'll be an old story. I'm used to having professors and political messiahs and smart young bureaucrats trying to run my business. And if they haven't wrecked it, I have nothing to fear from Winkle.
Well, at least he won't propose a new tax to add to your burden. Well, we better be getting over to the scene of the festivities. We want to be there to receive the mayor when he comes. We'll probably find Wendy there rehearsing.
Luke! Yes. Luke, there's been a terrible... hello, what? Jace.
Hello, Mr. Winkle.
Why, what's the trouble, Wendy? Lost your speech?
I know. They've made a mistake on this program.
Why, I went over it carefully when it came back from the printers.
But they put me last.
Well, that's right. You are last.
Now, look here, Luke. That won't do. Why, people be getting up to go just when I get well started.
Why, that's a fine spot, Wendy. You close the show.
But, Luke, I planned my speech to follow the mayor's. Now, look here. I say right in the beginning about what a nerve I have to follow a really proficient public speaker. And now I discover that my speech comes after yours.
Oh, well, never mind. You can cut that out. The audience will discover what a nerve you have without your telling them.
Now, all kidding aside, Luke, you've got to change it. Why, in my History of Human Endeavor, that's the title of my speech, you know,
yeah.
I go way back to ancient Egypt at the pharaohs and the building of the pyramids. Why, the audience will be gone by the time I get to the Middle Ages.
I'm sure of it. In fact, I'm counting on it. But it's too late to do anything now. You'll just have to hold them by the strength of your personality.
Well, of course I can hold them if I really exert myself in the beginning of it. But I'd planned to save the real fireworks for the part at the end, where I have a vision of the future.
I'm sure everyone will be interested enough to stay through it, Mr. Winkle.
Well, thanks, Jace. You know, I put some real effort into making this little celebration of yours a success.
Mighty fine of you to help us out.
After all, I feel I owe you something for what you did for Miss Timmons.
Miss Timmons?
Yes, my fiancée. You bought her property for the factory site and paid her a handsome sum for it, too, didn't you?
Why, perhaps Mr. Jason would rather not publish his private affairs, Wendy.
Oh, no offense, no offense. It doesn't matter anyway. I'll be handling all her affairs soon. Ah, fine woman. Make a fine wife. There's nothing like having a little millionaires in the family, eh, Jace?
It would be nice.
Has Miss Timmons accepted you?
Well, not exactly, but she will. You wait and see.
I am waiting with bated breath. Shall we go?
Yes.
I don't get it, Letitia. Why you want to come to this groundbreaking party?
Why, Gus, of course I want to come. Most everybody in town will be there, and the mayor is going to speak. And Bill Winkle, too. There's his name right on the program.
That guy. You can hear him speak any time. He's always doing it. But he don't say nothing.
Oh, Gus Olson, I do believe you're jealous.
Jealous of him? Don't make me laugh.
Well, you got no call to be talking that way. Bill Winkle is a pretty important man around here, or they wouldn't have asked him to talk on the same program as the mayor.
Important for what? He don't do nothing. He ain't even got a job.
Job ain't everything.
Maybe not, but at least it's something. And anyhow, it ain't right for you to take up for him when you're practically engaged to me.
Well, I haven't seen no diamond ring yet. Until I do, I guess I can say anything I want to about Bill Winkle or anybody else, Mr. Gus Olson. There. We're late. Oh, I might have known we would be.
Maybe Winkle's all through. That'd be a help.
Oh, excuse me. Are these seats taken?
No.
Well, come on, Gus. Down. You're blocking the view. Oh, have the speeches started yet?
Yeah, the mayor's just finished.
Oh, dear, and I did want to hear him. He's such a smart man. Oh, well, I can hear Bill's speech anyway.
Yeah? Well, tell me when he's finished so I can wake up and go home. Hey, look, there's the boss up on the platform.
Mr. Robinson? Why, of course he's up there. They couldn't have a speech-making in Centerville without having editor.
Quiet, Letitia. He's going to say something.
Mr. Mayor and friend, it may seem to some of you that turning up a spade full of earth is a pretty trivial thing about which to stage a celebration. But to me, the occasion has an especial significance. To me, it is a symbol of the enduring and indomitable spirit of the American tradition, carrying on in the face of the doubt and confusion which besets our nation today. That we should have occasion for a celebration of this kind is doubly indicative of the lasting quality of our American institution. When our present system is threatened by the experimenters, the promoters, the exponents of foreign ideas, when the very Constitution under which America became great is in danger of being lightly cast aside, I hand you this spade, Mr. Mayor, with the hope that the breaking of this ground will signify the breaking up of the destructive influences which surround us, and that the building to be erected here will be a forerunner of a return to the solid foundations upon which our fathers built and upon which we may build again, a better, more prosperous nation with employment for all in private enterprises.
Boy, the boss sure can't put him in the aisles.
Yes, it was a good speech. I wonder when Bill Winkle comes on.
After that speech, nobody's going to listen to Winkle. We might as well go home.
You can go if you want to. I'm staying.
And now, our esteemed fellow citizen, Mr. William Winkle, has a few remarks to make
on the history of human endeavor. Mr. Winkle.
Mr. Olson, didn't nobody ever teach you manners?
On the subject of human endeavor, I think I may qualify as an expert, having long made study of the progress of civilization. In ancient times, as far back as the Egyptian era of the pharaohs, humanity has been endeavored. Let us take, for example, the pyramids. Now, the pyramids were built in the Middle Ages.
That's what I told you would happen. Everybody's going. Come on.
Well, I don't care. I'm staying. There ought to be somebody around here with a sense of refinement.
Okay, I give you a chance, Letitia. And along about 6 hours from now, when that guy gets good and warmed up, you'll be sorry you didn't take it.
Will you go, Gus? I can't hear a word he's saying.
That settles it. I'm going.
And why did the Egyptian civilization fail?
Because they had to listen to a lot of hot air.
Well, I resent that. If I'm to be heckled,
I don't blame you, buddy. That guy is terrible.
You don't know him like I do. If there's anything worse than that guy, it's women. Will you tell me why they fall for that stuff?
I give up, do they?
Sure, like a ton of bricks.
Well, Gus, I didn't expect to find you here.
Oh, hello, boss. Say, that was a swell speech you gave.
Thanks, but you're leaving early, aren't you?
You bet. When it comes to listening to Winkle, I quit, just like you.
Well, Mr. Jason and I did manage to slip out without anybody seeing us.
I guess that's because everybody else was sneaking out, too.
It does look like wholesale desertion. Mr. Jason, this is Mr. Olson, a member of my staff.
Oh. Hiya. You're the guy that's going to build this here factory, ain't you?
Yes, I am.
Well, I want to talk to you. I want to be an investor in your factory.
I'm flattered, but I'm not the one to talk to. You'll have to see your banker or your broker.
Yeah, the boss explained to me how you do it. What I want to speak to you about is whether this factory is going to grow big or not.
Well, I hope it is.
Oh, that's bad. Then I guess I'll have to find something else.
I don't understand. If you're thinking of investing in it, you'll want it to succeed, won't you?
Oh, no. No, I don't want to get caught out on no limb like that. No. The boss told me all about it. If the company you invest in gets successful, they slap a tax on its income and you don't get no rent for the money you put in. I'm not going to be no sucker. Everybody takes a crack at them.
Well, in this case, I don't think you'll have to worry, Gus. This is going to be a small company for some time to come. And we hope that by the time it gets big, with more employees and more stockholders, this blind attack on little business, which grew big, will be halted.
Okay, boss, if you say so. And if Mr. Jason will promise he won't get successful on me in a hurry.
Well, I'm afraid I'd be perfectly safe in promising you that.
We better get back and see how our speaker's getting on, Mr. Jason.
Yes.
I'll see you at the office, Gus, if you're going back.
No, boss, I'm taking the afternoon off to see about my investment. I'll see you in the morning.
You appear to have some unusual characters in your town, Robinson.
Yes, you've met the two prime exhibits. Windy Bill and Gus Olson are unique, but I assure you, we have a lot of perfectly normal citizens, too.
And so is Timmons. Steeped in iniquity and softened by luxury, its people touched into poverty, the glory that was Rome crumbled and fell into the dust.
Go on, Bill. I'm still listening.
And poor Wendy's audience dwindled down to a solitary listener, but an enthusiastic one. Apparently, Luke's scheme to make Wendy attractive to her is working very well. Apparently, Wendy is suffering from the delusion that Miss Timmons is a millionaire, and he's in for a rude awakening if the suit for her hand is successful. But he will be able to console himself with the job Mr. Jason is going to offer him as contact manager. Now that the factory has actually been started, what will it mean to Centerville and to our friends, to Gus and his investment, to Wendy and his job? Listen in on our next program and see what happens. Until then, goodbye. The American Family Robinson, which is broadcast regularly over this station, is written by Douglas Silver and Marjorie Bartlett and produced by the National Industrial Council.